Listen, for our celebration, we do this dinner once a year, but we eat all the time. Amen? Some of you that have been here can testify to that, right? Yeah, our kitchen area, we actually call that meet, greet, and eat. Because we thought, you know, if someone has something in their hand or something on their plate, that they're more likely to open up about themselves. So it's a great opportunity to build relationships. So if you have your Bibles with me this morning, I'd like you to turn to the book of Romans, chapter 1. And today I'm just going to minister to you a simple message. The gospel is simple, but man tends to make it more complex than what it really is. And of course, we have we like to give all of our months a theme, and the theme for this month is Emmanuel, God with us. And we're going to look at, in the month of December, what it really means to have God with us, all right? But today, I want to talk to you about the gospel is good news. Everybody say good news. Now, I'm sure that we all could attest to the fact that we like to hear good news, right? And what does someone normally do if they're about to give you bad news? They try to give you good news first, right? They said, do you want the bad news or the good news? And the good news has a way of lessening the effect of the bad news. But the gospel is the greatest news in the world that anyone will ever hear. Amen? It's never down. It's never sad. It's always upbeat. It's always positive. Amen? And you could almost call the Bible the Good News Gazette. All right? And we are privileged that God gave us this message. And the gospel is about a person. It's about Jesus Christ. It's about how God came to earth as a man, and not only did he die on a cross for our sins, but he showed us how to live. For 33 and a half years, he walked this earth. He lived a perfect life. He did not sin. He did not falter. He did not deter from his vision or his mission, but he accomplished everything that God put him on this earth to do. And it's because of what he did that we get to reap the benefits of what he did. All right? And in the book of Romans, chapter 1, beginning with verse 16, the Apostle Paul writes, he said, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. Everybody say, I'm not ashamed. You know, we don't have to feel bad about sharing in the gospel. We don't have to feel bad about receiving this good message. Okay? We don't have to be ashamed. Why? For it is the power of God unto salvation. Notice, to everyone, everybody say everyone, that believes. Do you mean that there are people who would actually believe, they don't believe good news? You know, if someone were to tell you that you won $1 million, would you believe it right away? I don't know, I'd sure get excited. But see, the gospel is a message. And what that message, the message is given, and the message is either received or rejected. God does not force anybody to receive the gospel or the good news, but he simply gives you the good news, and then he leaves it up to you what you do with that good news, right? And he goes on to say, verse 17, for therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith. As it is written, the just shall live by faith. So within the gospel, we have righteousness revealed. What is righteousness? It means right standing with God. It means that you can have a right relationship with God, that you can approach God, that you can communicate with God, that you can fellowship with God. Oh, I'll tell you what, the gospel is so awesome. All right? Go with me to the Gospel of Luke chapter 2. Everybody say the gospel is good news. I didn't come to bring you bad news today. I didn't come to beat you down and tell you how bad you are. I came to tell you that you can have life in Christ, that you can have forgiveness of all your sins, that you can be lifted up, that you can have hope and joy and peace unlike anything in this world can ever give you. The gospel is powerful. And I stand before you today as a minister of the gospel, and I am not ashamed of this message. I am not ashamed of what the contents are in this message. Because this message will do the body good. This message will strengthen you. This message will uphold you. This message is for anybody, anywhere, any place, any background. Hallelujah. You may have noticed already, I get really excited about the gospel. I'm very passionate. I want to see the gospel. I want to see the gospel alive in people's lives. You can actually take this message, you can apply your life to it, and you can actually walk it out. You can actually let the gospel govern you, and the end result will be you will be more like Christ. All right? In Luke chapter 2, verse 8, and there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night, and lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them. And they were sore afraid. You know, if an angel appeared to you in all the glory of heaven, you'd be sore afraid too. And the angel said to them, "Fear not." See, aren't you glad? When God shows up on the scene, he deals with our fear immediately. He dispels our fear. "For behold," notice what he says, "I bring you not so good news." Is that what it said? No, good news of great joy, which shall be to all people. Everybody say all people. That tells me that no matter where you are or who you are, this gospel is for you. It is good news of great joy to all people. This is truly the gift of one size fits all. And it has a non-refundable money-back guarantee. This gospel is guaranteed to touch your life and to change your life. And it's not something you try, it's something you become. The gospel, the angel had some good news. I mean, there were bright lights. You know, when someone is going to make a public announcement, they came with bright lights. Heaven's spotlight shone on the angel. He magnified the angel. And why shepherds? Because shepherds were listening. Amen? The gospel is for anyone who's listening. Are you listening today? Can you hear me today? Amen. Hallelujah. Go with me to Matthew chapter 24. The gospel is good news. Everybody say, God is good. Listen, if something bad has happened in your life, God did not cause it. Because God is good. He is not bad, he is good. Anyone ever tells you that God is bad, they lie. God is good. Because this message is about God, and this message is good. Hallelujah. Oh, I'm so excited today. Now notice, Matthew chapter 24, and let's look at verse 12. "And because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold." We're seeing that today, aren't we? We're seeing iniquity abounding. The love of many is waxing cold. "But he that endures until the end, the same shall be saved," verse 14, "and this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in only parts of the world." No? Doesn't say parts? in all the world for a witness unto all nations. Then shall the end come. So this gospel is so important that it has to get out to the world before Jesus can come, before the end can come. God is not going to come until every person, every tribe, every tongue hears the message of there's a Savior who came to earth to bring deliverance, to bring joy, and to bring peace to the world. That's how powerful this message is. It's going to go throughout the whole world. It applies to everybody. It's going to be preached in all nations and in every tongue. You say, how's that going to be possible? God knows how it's possible. Hallelujah. Go with me to Acts chapter 10. Book of Acts chapter 10. You know, the gospel changed my life when I was 12 years old. I heard the gospel. I accepted it. I believed it, and I haven't been the same since. Hallelujah. God is faithful. He has always proven his word true. Acts chapter 10, verse 34. This is while Peter was preaching at Cornelius' house. And Peter opened his mouth and said, of a truth, I perceive that God is no respecter of persons. Look at someone close to you and say, God's no respecter of persons. And he said, but in every nation, he that fears him and works righteousness is accepted with him. The word which God sent unto the children of Israel, the word is talking about the gospel. Preaching peace by Jesus Christ, for he is Lord of all. That word, I say, you know, which was published throughout all Judea and began from Galilee after the baptism which John preached. Imagine if the Apostle Paul had a plane like we do today. Imagine what he could have done with an airplane. Look at what he did without an airplane. Look at how many places he went to preach the gospel without the modern convenience, without a cell phone, without a computer, without a TV and a radio. He was so passionate. His life was changed by the gospel, and he dedicated the rest of his life to tell others about it. Now notice verse 38. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good. Everybody say, doing good. See, any work of the gospel is a good work. Any time that the gospel is going forth, there's something good happening. And Peter said this, verse 39, and we are witnesses of all these things which he did both in the land of the Jews and in Jerusalem, whom they slew and hanged on a tree. Him God raised up the third day and showed him openly, not to all the people, but unto witnesses chosen before of God, even to us who did eat and drink with him after he rose from the dead. The basic essence of the gospel is this. God came to earth as a man. The Word put on flesh and dwelt among us. And he lived a perfect life. Jesus demonstrated how a life should be lived that is in union with God. All right? And they found no fault in him. And the only thing that they could accuse him was they nailed to the cross that he was the King of the Jews. And he gave his life as a sacrifice. He died on a cross, but that wasn't the end. The end was when he rose from the grave on the third day. That is the gospel. See, Jesus, he doesn't only point us the way to heaven, but he shows us how to live on earth till we get to heaven. Listen, I'm going to go to heaven. I'm looking forward to it, but I'm not there yet. So what do I do in the meantime? I've got to live a life. The gospel will cause you to be a success in life. It will cause you to be an overcomer in life. With the gospel, you can face any challenge and run through it or overcome it, but you can be a success with the gospel. Amen. not apart from the gospel. You will, a person will quickly find, when you try to do things on your own, you'll quickly find how it doesn't always work out. Right? There is a way that seems right unto man, but in the end, it leads to death. But Jesus said, the gift that I give you produces eternal life. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Go with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 1. I just want to encourage you. And the gospel is a powerful message. That's why when a preacher is touched with the gospel, they speak with such passion and such authority, because there's so much power. Sometimes I feel like a soda bottle that's been shook up, and I'm just waiting to let that cap off. And sometimes it comes out like that. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 18. He says, for the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness. Now, someone who's an unbeliever, whose mind has been blinded by the god of this world, they can't see the light. They think that what we're doing today is foolishness. But unto them which are saved, it is the power of God. I have a different perspective because I was touched by the gospel, and the gospel changed my life. The gospel saved me. The gospel helps me. The gospel is bringing me into all truth to be like Jesus. He says he will destroy the wisdom of the wise. See, an education is good, but an education with revelation is great. I'm not against education. I have a college degree. But an education without revelation, it's only on the natural side of things. But there's a whole other side of life called the spiritual side. You need the revelation of Jesus Christ. You need to know who he is, what he did, and what he wants to do in you. Hallelujah. We need to have that revelation. And it comes through the gospel. All right? Look at verse 5 of that same chapter. 1 Corinthians. Oh, I'm sorry. That's Colossians. Colossians chapter 1. Verse 5. He's talking to Christians, to believers. For the hope which is laid up for you in heaven, whereof you heard before in the word of truth of the gospel. Notice that every time you'll see the gospel, it is associated with truth. Amen? Because Jesus said, I am the way, the truth. Jesus didn't say, I'm a truth. He said, I'm the truth. I'm the way. I am the life. Verse 6, the gospel which is come unto you, as it is in all the world. You know what? People receive the gospel the same, whether you're in Pennsylvania, whether you're in China, whether you're in France, whether you're in Australia, or whether you're in Africa. It comes through the preaching of the gospel. Thank God for people who accept the call to preach the gospel, because how can they go unless they're sent? But blessed are the feet of them that bring good news. Thank God for the people who are willing to stand and to proclaim the gospel, the truths of God, the truths of his kingdom, the truth of his son Jesus Christ. This gospel has come unto you as it is in all the world. And it brings forth fruit, as it does also in you, since the day you heard of it and knew the grace of God in truth. All right? So the gospel is power. It comes to you in power. It will assure you of your future. It will assure you that you have been forgiven. See, some people think because of what they've done or because of how they lived that God will never love them. I've got news for you. That's just the person Jesus came for. He says, I came to seek and save that which was lost. He's looking for the downtrodden. He's looking for the wanderers. He's looking for those who sit in darkness because he wants to show them a great light. The gospel. I'm highly motivated by the gospel. If I would not earn another dime doing anything, I would still preach the gospel. I'm telling you, I would. The gospel changed my life. Go with me to John chapter 8. John chapter 8. See, this gospel is for you. It's for everybody. It's for all of us. Each one of us can benefit from the gospel, but you must receive the gospel. You must believe the truth of the gospel. You must allow the gospel to permeate your hardness and get into your heart, and you've got to let the gospel change you from the inside out. God just wants to make a deposit of his word into your heart. We need the word of God. Jesus even said, I can do nothing of myself. Now, if Jesus, who was absolutely perfect, who did no wrong, who did no sin, if he can't do anything by himself, what makes us think that we can? Huh? Listen, if we could experience eternal life by being good, Jesus would have never had to come. If we could experience the good news of the gospel, then without, on our own, we ought to see the news reports getting better and better. But how many know that's not true? It's getting worse and worse. So that proves that we need a Savior. That proves that we needed help. We were drowning in sin. We were in despair. It was like being stuck in the mud. Anybody ever been stuck in the mud before? You got your tire stuck and you hit the gas and all you're doing is spinning, but you're not making any progress. Sometimes when a person is living without Christ, that's how it is. It's like you're stuck in the mud. But God reaches down with the gospel helpline, right? He sends out the gospel helpline, and you grab a hold of the gospel, and that gospel is powerful enough to pull you right out of the miry clay and to set your feet on the rock. Not only will the gospel pull you out, it'll clean you up. Amen. Hallelujah. So there'll be not even a stain or a stench of mud on you. The gospel makes you clean. John chapter 8. Verse 12. Then spoke Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that follows me shall not walk in darkness, but he shall have the light of life. So the gospel is light. It leads you. The gospel is the light at the end of your tunnel. You might be in a dark time today. Things may not be going right. You may be wondering why you're here on this earth. But all you need God to do is to flip the light on, is to hear the gospel, because the gospel is good. Amen? The gospel will illuminate you. When the lights come on, the darkness scatters. All you've got to do to eliminate the darkness is to turn on the lights. And Jesus is the light. Hallelujah. The word, the Bible says, is a lamp unto my feet and a light to my path. He'll illuminate your way so that you do not stumble, so that you do not fall. It's a lot easier to maneuver in the darkness when you have a light versus not having a light. I'm sure that we all could share a story or two of getting up in the middle of the night and going boom, or clunk, or kapow. We might have even scars to remind us of that. But you know what? Jesus is the only person in heaven who also has scars. He's got scars to remind us forever that he paid the price for our sin. See, what we don't understand is sin is like a plague. It is extremely destructive. All right, go with me to Romans chapter 5 for a minute. Romans chapter 5. See, because we don't think that sin is so bad sometimes. That's why we don't adhere to the gospel. You know, Jesus even said, men love darkness and hate the light. But in Romans chapter 5, verse 12, he's giving us some revelation here. He says, wherefore, as by one man, sin entered the world. Everybody say one man. One man. We may not think that one mistake can have such severe consequences, but it can. You know what? We ought to consider the consequences that our actions might produce. But too often we don't do that, do we? We just act and worry about the consequences. I'll act now and pray later. But notice, by one man, sin entered the world, and death by sin. Sin, if there was no sin in the world, there would be no death. But sin brought death to this world. And death passed upon all men. Everybody say all men. So everybody who was born into this earth, death passes on to them. For all have sinned. So people are, we're born into a sinful world, a world that is full of sin and darkness. For unto the law, verse 13, sin was in the world, but sin was not imputed when there was no law. Until the law came, people didn't know that there was sin, because you don't know if it's wrong unless there's a law saying it's wrong. So even though there was sin in the world, it wasn't accounted to people's account. Verse 14. Nevertheless, death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over them that had not sinned, after the similitude of Adam's transgression. Now, don't give Adam such a hard time, because all of us have done something wrong knowing it was wrong, right? Just keep smiling and looking forward, and nobody knows I'll be talking about you. Amen. Oh, he's talking about me, yeah. Adam is the figure of him who that is to come, but not as the offense. So also is the free gift. Everybody say free gift. There is no charge for the gospel. Now, one of my pastors used to say, the gospel is free, but the pipeline costs money. Right? So also is the free gift. For if through the offense of one, many be dead, much more the grace of God and the gift by grace, which is by one man, Jesus Christ, has abounded to many. Hallelujah. God's free gift of Jesus Christ will cancel out the effects of sin. It will wipe sin's power out. It will loose sin's hold on you. It will free you from the miry depths of sin and give you a new life, a new way of living. Hallelujah. With a new destination and a new purpose that is revealed to you when you walk with God and you know him. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Go with me to Acts chapter 26. And let's look at verse 11. Paul is sharing his testimony with an official here. And he says, I punished them often in every synagogue and compelled them to blaspheme. And being exceedingly mad against them, I persecuted them even unto strange cities. So Paul is telling of himself how he treated believers before he himself came to the knowledge of the truth. Whereupon, as I went to Damascus with authority and commission from the chief priests. So Paul was authorized by the leading religious leaders of his day to persecute people. If he found, let's say that this table here, you're full of believers, and Paul had a legal right to come to arrest you, to harass you, and to take you away and to imprison you simply because you believed in Jesus Christ. This is what Paul was before he came to the knowledge of the truth himself. He's sharing his testimony. And verse 13. At midday, O king, I saw in the way a light from heaven. Who's the light of the world? Jesus. What's the gospel? It's the gospel of light. See, Paul was in darkness, so therefore God had to turn the light on him. See, when we're in darkness, we're just kind of fumbling and stumbling around. And we need the revelation of God. Above the brightness of the sun, there's no sunglass that could keep your eyes from that brightness. There's no sunblock that could help you from being illuminated. When God shines a light on, He shines a light. And the light was shining around him and them which journeyed with me. So Paul and his group were in the light, okay? And this was at midday. And he said the light that was shining on him was brighter than the noonday sun. That's a bright light. Verse 14, and when we were all fallen to the earth, I heard a voice speaking unto me and saying in Hebrew tongue, Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me? But was Paul persecuting the Lord? No, he was persecuting his children. When you mess with the daddy's children, it's like messing with the daddy. Amen? And Jesus took it personal. He said, if you did this to the least of me, least of my brothers, you've done it unto me. He said, it is hard for you to kick against the pricks. Verse 15, and I said, who art thou, Lord? And he said, I am Jesus whom you persecute. See, Jesus himself had to bring Paul out of darkness. Persecution, harassment, almost like terroristic. This was Paul before. How many know that who you were before Christ is dead, but who you are now in Christ is the new man? Hallelujah. I'm so glad that the old has passed away and all have become new. Hallelujah. I'm not the man I used to be. I'm not the person I used to be. Why? Because I'm in the light now. I'm not in darkness. Verse 16. Jesus told him, now rise and stand upon your feet. For I have appeared unto you for this purpose. You know what? Jesus is not going to appear to everybody. This was a special case. Jesus has never appeared to me. But you know what? I find Jesus in this book. From cover to cover, from Genesis to Revelation, I see Jesus. This is the revelation of God. Why did he appear to him? For this purpose, to make you a minister. How can God take someone who abused? He was an abuser. He was a persecutor. He was violent. How could God take an abuser, a violent person and make him into an apostle and a preacher. I don't know, but God can. God can make the change. He wants to change you today. It's no fun being in the darkness. Yes, the Bible says sin is fun for a season, but when you're in sin, the season quickly ends. Yeah, sin is fun for a season, but pretty soon when the season changes, it's not so fun anymore. So Jesus wanted to make Paul a minister and a witness of these things which you have seen and of those things in which I will appear to you. Notice verse 17. Delivering you from the people and from the Gentiles unto whom now I send you. What will the gospel produce? Verse 18. To open their eyes. See, the one thing that the gospel does, it's going to open your eyes so that you can see things from a different perspective. Amen? You know, things look a lot different when you're on a mountaintop versus down below. Earlier in the year, we had the privilege of going to Colorado, and we went up to Pikes Peak. And it was fun just to hear the ladies as we were driving up. Oh, 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 ah, oh. My sisters and my niece and my wife, they were all, because there's no guardrails, and you're going up 14,000 feet. I just enjoyed hearing it. You know, I'm driving, and they go, ah, whoo, I'm driving, you know. You got to stay focused. Why? You need your eyes opened. Why do you think sports teams have a skybox? Because they have a different perspective of the playing field. They can see what the quarterback can't see. Or the running back can't see. They can see the position of the enemy. They can see the openings. They can see the traps that the enemy might have for you. So we need our eyes opened. And their eyes are only going to be opened through the gospel. And to turn them from darkness to light. God wants to turn you from darkness. He doesn't want you to be in the darkness. He doesn't want you to be alone. He said, I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. He said, I will be with you. Lo, I am with you always until the end of the earth. I will never leave you nor forsake you. Maybe you're feeling like you're alone today. You're not. God is here. But the reason that you can't call on him is because your eyes are blinded. And from the power of Satan unto God. People who have not received the gospel are under the power of Satan. People who don't put their trust in Christ are being led and motivated and dominated by Satan. And the Bible says that he is a thief who comes to steal, kill, and destroy. But Jesus said, I have come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. How many has ever watched one of those red carpet shows, you know, and you got this one person and they're kind of a star, you know, and they pull up, everybody's all excited, but then you got this other person who's a bigger star and they pull up and all the attention from this person goes on to this person. See, Satan is the god of this world, but when Jesus shows up, he comes in greater glory and greater power. You forget about Satan and your eyes are now on Jesus. Yeah, people that have not received the gospel are dominated by the flesh and the law of sin and death and Satan. Jesus told Pharisees one time, he said, you are of your father, the devil. Not everybody, see, you can't be a Christian just coming to church. I can't sit in McDonald's and turn into a Big Mac. That would take a miracle for me to be a Big Mac. See, so going to church, oh yeah, are you a follower of Christ? No, I go to church. No, it's not, I mean, going to church is good. Because I tell people, you know, if someone wants to be a doctor, where do they need to go? Medical school. If someone wants to be a lawyer, they got to go to law school. If you want to know about Christ, you got to go to a place that teaches about him. But just going there, does not make you a Christian. To be a Christian means to be Christ-like. You have got to let the gospel get in you, and you've got to commit your life to live according to the gospel. The gospel has to become your rule of life. It has to become the very thing that governs your actions, your words, and all of your behavior. Don't treat Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection in vain. How do you not treat it in vain? Put the gospel to practice. Apply your life to the gospel. Why do I say apply your life to the gospel? Because the gospel is the thing that doesn't change. Did you know that over the thousands of years, God's message has not changed? He hasn't had to change it. This is a perfect message. This is a wonderful message. This message has a beyond the lifetime guarantee. It's an eternal life guarantee. My dad used to sell insurance for State Farm. Now I give away assurance by God Almighty. What else does the gospel do? That they may receive forgiveness of sins. You ever do anything wrong? And the wrong that you did was forgiven? What does that make you feel like? I remember I had a friend in Illinois, and this friend was alcoholic. His father was alcoholic, and he became alcoholic. And he had gotten his third DUI. They found his car parked in a parking space behind another car with the keys in the ignition and him asleep at the wheel. Not a good thing. Third DUI. He'd already lost his license. He had to ride his bike everywhere. But you know what? I remember on his birthday, he had committed to God that he wasn't going to drink anymore. And he drank his last drink on his birthday, and that was it. He's been clean ever since. And you know what God did when he gave his heart to God fully, when he fully surrendered? God caused him to be free of the third DUI. He went into court, he went before the judge, and the judge dismissed it supernaturally. Because after the judge dismissed it, he went to Bible school. He graduated Bible school. His father, I had the privilege of taking his father to Oklahoma to see his son graduate. His father ended up giving his heart to the Lord before he went on to be with heaven. See, God, the gospel will not only affect you, it'll affect generations after you. You get infected with the gospel. It's a contagious disease. Let it have its full course in you. Don't try to put the gospel off, but let it have its full work. Let the gospel work in you so that it can work on the next generation. Because only people who allow the gospel to touch them will affect the next generation. The best thing that you can leave for those coming up behind you is a heritage of faith. But you know what? The gospel, it doesn't say you're going to be forgiven. It says, I already forgave you. As far as God is concerned, when Jesus died on the cross and shed his blood, the debt that we owed was paid. And once you pay the bill, you don't have to pay it again. That's good news. You don't have to get forgiven. You just have to receive the forgiveness that's already been freely given to you. Listen, if you don't receive the forgiveness of God, you're going to walk around with a heavy weight in life. You're going to walk around with a burden that you weren't designed to carry, you weren't designed to walk with, you weren't designed to handle. Only Jesus can take that burden from you, and he's already forgiven you. You don't have to be good enough to earn his love. You can't earn his love. His love is a free gift. All you can do is receive his love. Say this with me. Say, Lord Jesus, today, right now, I receive your love. You love me. I believe in your love. I'm letting your love change me. Hallelujah. Yeah, you don't have to get forgiven. You're already forgiven. His blood is already shed. He doesn't have to get on the cross anymore. That blood was sufficient to wipe the sin away. And there is still blood that flows from Emmanuel's veins. And the blood is for you. All you got to do is apply the blood to you, and you'll be free from that junk. And then notice what else. The gospel brings an inheritance. Did you know that God wrote your name in his will? It's called the Lamb's Book of Life. And everybody who calls upon the name of the Lord, the Bible says, shall be saved. Not maybe, not might be, but shall be. You do the calling, he does the saving. Our part is the calling and to believe on him. His part is the work. And he gives you an inheritance. He makes you a joint heir with his son. We are joint heirs with Christ. We are heirs together. We have an inheritance. Hallelujah. Listen, my dad, when I was in going to college, you know, my parents wanted me to go to college, but the first time I wasn't into it. I didn't go. I tried and I failed. But you know what? God has a way of getting you in place. And after I went to Bible school, that's when I was ready to go to college. And my dad said that when I graduate college, that he would buy me a new car. I thought that was cool. But before I graduated, my dad's aunt died. My dad did not know that he was included in her will. And when she died and he got news of the will and he went to the reading of the will, he found out that he had an inheritance of a certain amount of money. And with that money, he was able to buy me a car. He was able to help my sister. He was able to help my other sister. And with that money that came unexpectedly, it was an inheritance. Let me tell you something. You've got an inheritance in the living God. You've got an inheritance in the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, the Creator of the universe. He's included you in his will, and it comes with a load of benefits. All through the gospel. And them which are sanctified by faith that is in me. See, once a person receives the gospel, then that gospel continues to work in them. Amen. Like a stew on the pot, or like a stew in the pot. You know, when you make a stew, you don't just cook it for 5 minutes, but you let that stew simmer. You let that flavor permeate every vegetable and every meat that you put in that stew. And that stew keeps getting better day after day after day. Amen. The gospel is like a stew. You got to let that gospel simmer in you until you get the flavor of Jesus in your mind, in your soul, in your life, in your family, in your finances, until every area of life you taste and look and smell like Jesus. You got to let the gospel permeate your life. You got to let the gospel do a work in you. The work of the gospel, it continues to sanctify you and to set you apart and to work mightily to mold and to shape you. It's a refiner's fire. It's a launderer's soap. It's like a free car wash. You got to let the gospel get in every part. Go with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. And I'm going to begin to close. The Lord knew exactly who would be here today. He knew exactly. He knows your situation. He knows how many hairs are on your head. He's concerned about every area of life. He knows your sorrows. He knows your pain. He knows your heart's cry. And he wants to meet all those needs based on one condition, that you believe and accept his message. Once you believe You mean, Pastor, it's that simple? Yes, it's that simple. Why is it so simple? Because God doesn't want anybody to miss. This is so good. This is so wonderful. This is so awesome. He doesn't want anybody to miss out on having what the gospel gives you. That's why he made it so simple to accept and to believe. He doesn't want you to miss out. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 3. For I delivered unto you, first of all, that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures, and that he was seen of Cephas, then of the 12. After that, he was seen of above 500 brethren at once, of whom the greater part remain unto this present, but some are fallen asleep or passed on. After that, he was seen of James, and then of all the apostles. And last of all, he was seen of me also, as of one born out of due time. For I am the least of the apostles, that am I'm not meet to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God, but by the grace of God. Everybody say, the grace of God. The grace of God will give you what you didn't deserve. It's only by God's grace through faith. He said, but by the grace of God, I am what I am. And his grace, which was bestowed upon me, was not in vain. But I labored more abundantly than they all, yet not I, but the grace of God, which was with me. Therefore, whether it were I or they, so we preach, and so you believed. So today I want to encourage you not to let God's grace be in vain, but to believe that God chose you out of darkness. He chose you to come out of darkness. He chose you to grow up in the palace, to be able to come before God's throne boldly, without a sin consciousness, without a guilt-dominated way or mindset. See, too many times, guilt and shame keep people from accepting the gospel. But you know what? As we read the very first, that you don't have to be ashamed of the gospel. The gospel does not produce shame, but it will give you a new name. It will give you a new way of living. It will give you a new purpose, which really isn't new. It's just that you discover your original purpose. Because God already, each one of you here today, you were born with a purpose. There's not one person in this place that was an accident. There's not one person in this place that was a mistake. God chose you. He chose you to be here today. He chose you to do a work in you. He chose you to hear this message, the gospel. Now it's up to you. Don't let the gospel be in vain, but receive it, believe it, accept it, and your life will be changed. If he did it for me, he'll do it for you. I wasn't a bad person, but I was full of death. Every one of us have this testimony that we have been delivered from death, separation from God. God doesn't want you to be separate from him. He wants you to be united together with him. It's time for you to make a choice today. Jesus is the reason for this season. If there had been no Jesus, there would be no reason to gather here today. But there has been a Jesus, so we have the greatest reason to be here today. We have the greatest place to celebrate. We have the greatest joy, the greatest peace, the greatest love that this world has ever seen. So I call on you today. I want everybody to close your eyes for a minute. I want every eye closed. No one looking around. You know where you're at. You know whether or not you have accepted the gospel or not. I'm asking you today, would you accept the gospel? Would you accept that you're forgiven? Would you accept that you're chosen? Would you accept that you have been given the gift of eternal life? Would you accept that you can come into God's presence? You can have a right standing with God? You can be free from the sin nature? If there's anyone here today, I just want you to put your hand up and let me know, I want to accept the gospel today. I want to believe the gospel today. You haven't believed it up to this point, but you can believe it today. Is there anyone here that would like to put their trust in the gospel? No one looking around. Just put your hand in the air and then put it down. I see that hand. Thank you. Anybody else? I see that hand. Thank you. I see that hand. Thank you. Anybody else? All I'm asking you to do is to accept the message. I see that hand. Thank you. Hallelujah. I see that hand. Thank you. This message is for you. This blood is for you. God loves you. He wants a relationship with you. He wants to be involved in your life. Are there any other hands? Are there any other hands? I saw five. Are there any more? Hallelujah. Oh, thank you, Lord God. Thank you, Lord. I want us all to stand up for a minute. I want us all to stand up. Hallelujah. And we're going to pray a prayer. I would like us to all pray this prayer. And then I would like those that have raised their hand to come and see me afterwards. All right? I want those who raised their hands to come and see me afterwards and tell me what is going on in you. Father, in Jesus' name, say this with me. Say, Heavenly Father, I come to you today. I surrender my way of doing things. I believe the message that Jesus is God's Son, that He lived a perfect life, that He died for me and my sins. He rose again from the dead, and He's calling me to a higher life. Right now, Jesus, I confess you as my Lord, my Savior, my Redeemer, my King, in Jesus' name. Work in me, use me, teach me your will so that I can do it. I love you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. You know what that means? That means that right now, in this very moment, those who raised your hand, your name has been written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Hallelujah. That means that you have been accepted into the family of God. That means that you have been born again. That means that you, now this is just the beginning. It gets better. Amen? God wants to teach you. You got to read the Bible. The Bible needs to be treated as food. You need to at least read the Bible as much as you eat food, because this is the only type of substance that will nourish your spirit. Okay? You need to be in a good church. If you don't have a home church, we welcome you here. We are a close-knit family, and we've got applications for more members. Amen? But today, you don't have anything to be ashamed about. But you give Jesus Christ your heart, and He'll give you life forevermore. And you will not be disappointed about the decision that you made today. Now, just like a baby, when a baby is born, the baby can't talk when it's first born. It has to develop. It has to grow. Now you as a believer, you have to grow in God. You have to grow in the knowledge of God. And the way you do that is to study the Word, pray, talk to God. Ask questions to other people. Ask other believers. Say, you know, what about this? What about that? Begin to build relationships. Amen? Because Christianity is all about a relationship with God. Amen? I'm so glad that you made this decision today. I'm so glad. God is glad. Hallelujah. I believe that burdens are lifted. So, Heavenly Father, as we partake today in a great time of fellowship and fun with the family of God. Lord, I just pray that we will enjoy ourselves. Lord, we ask you to sanctify the food, nourish our bodies, strengthen us. Father, bless every person that has given or made or did something to prepare this day. Lord, we ask your blessing to be upon them, Father. We ask you to bless this time together, Father, that we honor you and just have a good time in our family. And we love you in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen. If you could